matter. Okay, anyways, so we were doing, yes, as we said, Ziva Bastina and Tzvi Basmili, and it should be only good news for everybody before Shleiman, and good news. And now, what we would like to do is to see in the psukim that we have in front of us, we finished last week, we did about Pinchas, and we saw how Pinchas did what he did, incredible act, such a bravery, and because of that, he was rewarded with such a tremendous reward. And then we continued. Okay, I'll just use my... No problem. all good. So, what happens now in the next psukim that we have on page 323 here, which is the end of the perek, perek chafei, but it's pasuk, it's psukim tes zayin, yud zayin, yud ches. Here we have, just before we start the next chapter, just a small little insert that we have to understand where this comes in. So let's read it and then we'll see what it is. And this is a specific command, and we'll see what it is. It says, "Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe leimer." Hashem says to Moshe, saying, "Tzarar es hamidyonim," antagonize. It's an interesting word. It doesn't mean to fight them. It means to antagonize. And in, according to some opinions, what that means is to have a feeling of, I know we don't like to use that word, but hatred, or a feeling of like being repelled by these people, that in other words, we recognize that they are actually enemies and they are evil and that they represent something very, very bad. V'hikisem oisam, and smite them. So you see there's two different words. One word is to actually go to war against them. And the first word was, before you actually fight them, you actually have to have emotionally a feeling that you know, you recognize that they are actually our enemy, and we'll see soon why. Ki tzoyrim heim lachem. So the pasuk tells us, for they antagonized you. How did they antagonize you? Binichlehen, with their conspiracy. What this means is their deceit, and how they acted against the Jewish people in such an underhanded way to try and accomplish, as we know, to destroy the Jewish people. Al dvar pa'ar, and he gives us which topic we're talking about, was the story of the Pa'ar that we just finished. So it could be, and we'll see, it's both things. One thing was that they sent their woman out to cause the Jewish men to sin. And the other was, and we know that the real, what they were really trying to accomplish was that the Jewish people should serve the idol worship of Pa'ar. So it was, as we said, immorality and idolatry, and this is what they wanted to accomplish. And therefore we say, and that's why the pasuk says, Aldvar pa'ar v'aldvar kozbi bas nesi midyan achoysam, hamuka b'yoyim hamageifa, about the matter of Kozbi, the daughter of the prince of Midyan, who is their sister, in other words, who is related, who represents all of them, this whole nation of Midyan. And what happened to her? Hamuka b'yoyim hamageifa, who was slain on the day of the plague, Aldvar pa'ar, over the matter of Pa'ar. And why we're mentioning the plague is to show us that it was such a negative, terrible repercussion the Jewish people suffered because of what the Midianites did. And we know 24,000 Jews died in this terrible plague. So in these psukim, we have an interesting command. It's a bit unclear. What is the pasuk telling us? What are we meant to be doing here? So let's just clarify. There is a war that will take place, that the Jewish people will actually physically fight the Midianites. And we are told that when it comes to the war against the Midianites, it's a very unique war. Is it on there?
It's a different one.
Okay. Anyways, so in this war, we say a fascinating thing that happened. This was a war that the Jewish people had to fight specifically against the nation of Midian. And in that war, interestingly, we said that this was the last war that would take place before Moshe Rabbeinu passes away. In this war, what would happen is that the Jewish people, miraculously, not one would pass away. That was an amazing miracle. That's one thing to keep in mind. The other thing is that when they fought against Midian, something very unique, we are told that not only should they kill all the soldiers, all the men, but they should also destroy the trees. It's a very fascinating thing. We have to understand why why would we do that? Because we are usually commanded not to do that, especially fruit trees. You don't destroy them. And yet in Midyan, we were commanded to, yes, destroy. Now, here we have a different... that. When does that story take place? When do they actually fight the war? That's not in our parasha. That happens later. We'll see, there's a few things that have to happen before. We're going to count the Jewish people. That's going to take place before. We're going to tell the Jewish people about how we are going to divide the land of Israel, which is a beautiful, beautiful part with a whole lots and everything, a lottery system and miracles that happen, and we'll discuss that when we get there. And only afterwards will they actually physically fight the war. And yet over here we are already told that there will be a war, but more importantly, these psukim are here to tell us, Tsarar es hamidjanim. We have to have a feeling, an emotional understanding that they are our enemies. And that is something that we have to keep in mind constantly. Now, we'll have to understand why. Why is that important? Because as Jews, you know, we don't like to live in hate, obviously. We live in love, right? That's really our focus, right?
What we're doing now.
Exactly, exactly. But sometimes, as we will see, in order for us to be protected, in order for us to remain holy, and the main thing is in order for us to remain connected to Hashem and to each other and to be united, we do have to identify who our enemy is. If we don't, if we forget the enemy, what ends up happening is that the enemy creeps in. That's what we're saying. And now we're going to see it inside. I want to show you. Let's see how it's unbelievable. Everything in Torah is like as if it's written today, as we always say, mamish for today. This is Torah. Torah is eternal. But let's see, we're going to see the beautiful lessons of how it applies. We look at it in a global, but even for us personally, how it applies in a spiritual sense as well. And what we know, and this is so beautiful, whenever we do any mitzvah that we do, the smallest thing definitely has an effect on the whole world, as we know. But especially when it ties in, like it's connected. So sometimes we can do a mitzvah practically, sometimes we can only do it on the spiritual side. But when we do it on the spiritual side, we affect those who are actually practically implementing. And therefore, we'll see now how what we can do in our own lives, how we can incorporate a lot that's going on, even for us practically. So let's see. So let's just see quickly the Rashi before we go to the other booklet, because before we go to the next psukim, so I'll just tell you the next chapter is going to be that they have to count the Jewish people. We're going to see that soon, but we're not reading that yet. Look on this page, on page 323, you'll see what the Rashi tells us. So the Rashi says like this, Tsarar, antagonize. So he says a very powerful thing. This word is the same as Zachar, remember, and Shamar. Where do we know Zachar and Shamar? It is an expression of action continuing through the present, which means it is incumbent upon you le'ayev oisam, to treat them as enemies. And when we say le'ayev, it means actually to have a feeling that they are our enemies. When we talk about Zachar and Shamar, we know that's about Shabbos. And we know a very beautiful thing that we are told about Shabbos, that Shabbos is one day a week. We have six other days, and yet we all know how we count the days of the week. In Hebrew, there's no name for Monday. There's no name for Tuesday. It's Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, because every day we are counting towards Shabbos. We always remember Shabbos. Even on Monday, we remember Shabbos, right? That's what we do. So the same way, this is quite powerful, this Rashi is telling us, the same way we remember Shabbos all the time, we have to remember who our enemy is all the time. And we'll have to understand what this enemy represents. Okay, so it's a very important thing. Now, he says, what did they want to do? So let's see what he says. And also, we have to understand why specifically Midyan. This is a fascinating thing. There were many enemies. I mean, we have Amalek that we also always have to remember. There's really two nations that we are told that we should constantly be remembering that they are our enemy. That is Amalek and that is Midyan. And they also have similarities in the way we destroy them. But let's see why Midyan. And as we know with our story that we just learned, who was really the nation that started up with the Jewish people here? Who was Bilam hired by? Moav, right? Balak, who was the king of Moav. And yet we're not told to identify Moav as our enemy and to keep that hatred of Moav in our hearts. why? Okay, so let's see what we say here. He says like this: even though we do have to remember Maya, we can't forget any enemy. But there's something more about Midyan. So he says like this. In Rashi it says, for they antagonized you over the matter of Pa'ar, that they cast loose their daughters, as we know, to sin, kedei lahat oischem achar ha-Pa'ar, in order to lead you astray after Pa'ar. V'esmayav light siva lahashmid, but Hashem did not command Israel to destroy Mayav. Why? So interesting, because of Rus. Yes, Rashi tells us. Because Rus will come out. We can't destroy them. We need them. There's something good that's going to come out of them. Shahaisa asida lotseis mehem, who was destined to emerge from them, as it's explained in the Gemara. But we don't destroy them. But we still have to remember what they did to be on guard from the nation of Mayav. But we are also told why Midyan more than Mayav. So fascinating thing. When the Jewish, why did Mayav even hire Bilam? What was the reason they hired Bilam? Do you remember? Because they were afraid, right? The Jewish people were there. They were camped right outside of their nation. The Jewish people had already waged a few wars against the giants of Sichein and Aig. It's like now that we hope that what we need to do is to instill fear in others. They were afraid. Mayav was afraid. They thought that the Jewish people would come in and they thought they were in danger, right? That's what we know. So when you feel you're in danger, there's a little bit of a reason, at least you understand why they are worried and why they would hire somebody to curse the Jewish people and why they would put on guard, right? It makes sense. Midyan, where do they come in here? Where do they fit into the whole picture? Mayav sent to ask them, Midyan is coming out of nowhere. They're not in danger, just purely motivated by their hate, as we see it, unfortunately, now. Some people are taka in danger. Some people are just motivated by their hate, and therefore they join the ones who are in danger. And if that's the case, well, they are much worse. And therefore we are told that we better not forget about Midyan. Okay, so now we're going to have to understand, what does this represent? So if you look at the other sheet that you have in front of you, okay, the other booklet, which has in the front of it, I think, right, it has a page number one, it says. It's not so clear, I think, but it doesn't matter. Okay, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to read it in here. This is, I know we're only starting on the bottom of the page. I should have cut it, but anyways. Okay, so the bottom, this is the Nesiv HaShalom, and he explains it so magnificently. Okay, one second, I'll just scroll, because it's all the way on the bottom here. Okay. So we say like this. I'll read some of this inside because he explains it so beautifully. That's what we just said, that you should antagonize, that you should be remember what the Midyanim did and actually feel, you know, that feeling of emotional hatred, if you want to say, or at least, you know, like be disgusted by them. And then you will actually go to war later on. Okay, so Yesh Levayr Inyan Shel Tzivu Zeh. We have to understand, what is this command? What does it entail? K'mo shehiksha ha'arachayim HaKadosh, just like the Arachayim HaKadosh actually questions about it. Sha'arei adayin lo nitzdavu al melchemes Midyan, because interestingly, as we said, they are not yet commanded about the actual fighting. So this is what's interesting. We are being told to actually have this feeling even before we are able to go to war. Okay, so we have to understand why. V'rak lahalan, only later in Parshas Matis, now we're on page 2, ne'mar nikayim nikmas b'nei Yisrael me'is ha-Midyanim. There we are told to avenge, to take revenge upon the Midyanim. And there it talks about k'suva kol ha-melchama, details all the war, ha-gedayla shalachmu b'Midyan, that they fought against Midyan. U'mahi mashmos mitzvah zu. So what is the meaning of this mitzvah, shenemru lahem kan, that is told to them here about this, so to speak, this emotional feeling that they're supposed to have? Okay, so he says, the explanation is according to what is written in the Zohar HaKadosh. Shalai ha'isa oid eis tzara kazois li Yisrael, ka'isa sha'a sha'amdu aleihem bolak melech mayav u'bilam ben ba'ar. The Zohar says that up until that point, even though they had many times that they were in danger, this was the most dangerous point that they were at. When Balak stood there and what the, and Bilam, and hired Bilam to curse the Jewish people. What was special? What was different about that time that the Jewish people were in danger? Because, you know, Amalek wanted to destroy us also. But what was unique about this? Let's see what he says. He said, and he brings a few psukim who come from later on in the prophets. He says that, that our nation, Ami Zecharna, remember Mayat Balak Melech Mayev, what Balak, the king of Mayev, advised. Uma Anna Isai Bilam, and what Bilam answered him. Shaharbe Itais Tsarakvar Avru Alam Yisrael, many times of challenge and danger had already passed upon the Jewish people. Mi Maisailam, from the beginning of time. Achzu Haisam Yuchedes Mikulan, this stands out, this is unique. And what is it? Vahabir Bazeh, Ki Balak Yoda Eskaichai Habilti Minutzach Shal Am Yisrael. They weren't just a physically strong nation, and they weren't just smart people, Balak and Bilam. They knew the special key, the special formula, the uniqueness of the Jewish people, and what is it about them that gives them their strength and their eternity. This was the problem. What is it? Now we have to know what that is. What secret do they know about us? And that we should also know, we better know it, that makes us the strongest, not strongest, because we're not the strongest, but the most eternal nation on earth. What gives us our uniqueness and makes us so eternal? So what is it, he says? He says, let's see what it is. Shekol oid shehim dvukim b'Hashem yisparach, as long as they are connected, and we are talking about a strong connection with Hashem, I efshar b'shum panim lagbar aleihem ulachriyem. You cannot become strong over them. You cannot destroy them. You cannot harm them. As long as they remain connected to Hashem. Our strength is our connection. That's our strength. And as soon as you sever the connection even a little bit, we're not talking about a complete sever because we're never completely separated. But as soon as you weaken the connection between the Jewish people and Hashem, well, then you have a chance to do harm to them. Balak and Bilam were aware of that. More than Balak was, Bilam was aware. And that's why, what did Bilam do? He says, V'lochen yatzaleim lasais pirud. So what did he advise? To make a separation between Yisrael, l'ahiyam shabashamayim, the Jewish people, and their father in heaven. Sha'az yuchal l'natzcham, then they will be able to be victorious over them. And that's why we know, l'matarazu, sholach achar Bilam sheyaveh l'kalel es Yisrael. That's why he sent for Bilam. So Balak was also aware of this, and he realized that no matter how strong he might be physically, it's not going to help him. He has to do something where he spiritually cuts the Jewish people off from their connection to Hashem, and therefore he sends for Bilam to come and curse the Jewish people. And he hopes that through the curses, he's going to be able to cause a separation between the Jewish people and Hashem. Now we know what happens. A miracle happens. And it doesn't work, because at that point, the Jewish people were very devoted to Hashem. So no matter how hard Bilam tried to curse them, instead of curses, out came blessings. Why? Because we were connected, right? Okay, we know the story. So what happens? As we say, so he wanted to cause this friction, this separation, and therefore he says, and we know, we learned this, that from the brachas, we know what he wanted to curse. We just turn them around. As it says, Hashem doesn't see any sins, and therefore he's with them. Hashem alikav imai, the main words. Hashem, their God, is with them. They're connected. And he says, why? So he says, So we understand from this that what was his will, sharitzainai haya, lasais pirud ben Yisrael l'Hashem Yisbaruch, to make this separation between the Jewish people and Hashem. V'l'shem kach, so therefore, he went from one place to another. Like, remember, he was going from one mountain to another, and he was trying to find the weakness. Where am I going to pinpoint? And I'm going to make that, so I'm going to highlight that separation. But he couldn't find one. There wasn't one at that time. Well, we all know what happens as the story unfolds. After the four tremendous sets of beautiful blessings that he gives the Jewish people, now he feels, oh my gosh, not only didn't I find any separation, not only didn't I find the point of weakness, but I strengthened them. I'm in trouble. We better come up with a better plan. And he does come up with a good plan, unfortunately. And this plan does work. And what is this plan? As we learn, so we say, interesting thing also, it says here, beautiful thing that we know for sure that this was the case, that he was looking for a weakness was, you remember it says that when Balak and Bilam were going to curse the Jewish people, they went up on the mountain, and it says that Bilam looked around. He looked all around. What was he looking for? And it says he faced the desert. So the Mefarshim told us he was looking to the desert. He was reminding himself and trying to remind Hashem about the sin of the golden calf that they did in the desert. Because he was hoping that that would awaken that feeling, oh, they're not really united. But that didn't work because they had already had a kapara for the Chet HaEgel, right? They had already had their plague. They had already died, those who sinned. The others were doing tshuva. So there he didn't find the weakness. So he was trying to. We know he was trying. It didn't work. Okay? So he says that, so therefore we know he came up with a better plan. So what was the Atzas Bilam? Lahachshel es Yisrael, to cause the Jewish people to stumble. Bebeis hachatayim, with the two sins. Shel ba'ar balpar viznus, right? So the idol worship, and of course we said the immorality with the daughters of Mayav. Sha'al yidei ze yatzliach lahatil pirud ben advekim, then he will be able to cause a separation amongst those who are really very, very connected. And as we, and he, the Nesiv HaShalom explained in a different essay that he has, but it's explained according to many of the great Hasidic Rebbe's, a fascinating concept that, as we can see, they want to cause a separation. So what does this mean? It means that they want to find a weakness in our emunah, right? Because emunah and betochen, faith and trust in Hashem, is our connection to Hashem. So they want to find a weakness in our emunah. But a Jew is naturally believes in Hashem. We say, we're ma'minim b'nei ma'minim. We're believers, the sons of believers. But the belief can get covered up. It's always there, but it can get covered up. And one of the main ways, the Hasidic Rebbe has explained that the belief becomes covered up, is when we don't act in a holy way. When we are doing the opposite of kiddusha. Now, what is Kedusha? So we explain that Kedusha, holiness, where we associate Shabbos with holiness, holiness is a concept of separation, right? That's why we say sanctity. Shabbos is different than the week. That's why we call the weekday Yemei Chol, weekdays, right? Which is, it's an interesting word, Chol. Chol is something which is not sanctified, right? Something which is not holy. Shabbos is holy. So something which is separate, which is kept separate. The Jewish people know that we have a different code of moral way we live our life, a different family life, and we have to maintain that. And as long as we maintain our extra holiness, that will also make sure that we are in touch with our emunah. When we unfortunately go down in that holiness, well then our emunah can also be covered up. So that's why they came up with this idea of sending out these girls and causing the Jewish people to be immoral. And they thought, if they're going to be immoral, well, then we're going to make sure we're going to weaken their emunah, which means we're going to weaken their connection to Hashem very directly. And that will be a very weak spot, and we'll be able to get them. And then once we weaken their connection, then it's easy to go to the next step, to cause them to serve idols. And that's exactly what happened. It's true. They were right. They had a great plan and it worked. Now we are left with what's the remnants? What happens after? Because in the story, Pinchas was amazing and he woke the Jewish people up in a very drastic way. And he said, oh, no. We are not getting into this. This is not the way we act. We are a holy nation. And he showed them that. And he killed Cosby. And he, right, and he killed them all, and he showed, and the plague stopped. They were woken up, right? So this was an amazing thing. But there's still a slight issue left. The issue is that we, unfortunately, and this is a fascinating thing with that goes across the board of everything. Sometimes, you know, if we know something is wrong and we stay away from it, we keep our sensitivity to it, right? We know it's not good, so we're very highly sensitized, and we say we're never going to engage in that. We're not going to go near that because we know that that's harmful. But sometimes once you taste it or you do it a little bit, you become a little desensitized. That works in the positive and in the negative, as we know. They say now even physically, you know, now when we talk about allergies, right? So one of the ways is by slowly introducing the thing
that you're allergic to. Why? Because you desensitize that reaction. It's part of the same idea. But on the other, and that could be used in a positive way. But generally speaking, in the negative syllable, we have like this. If you don't like something, then you stay away from it. But as soon as you start a little bit to engage with it, you don't think of it as so bad. You start to say, it's not so bad. So what we find here is that once they did this sin with the daughters of Mayav, with the daughters of Midian, actually, it wasn't Mayav, it was Midian, they were desensitized. And therefore, there was a problem. So now, right away after Pinchas, what's the first command that we are told? Soror es hamidyanim. You have to rebuild. You have to make sure that you have that sensitivity again, that you develop that feeling that this is bad. It's not, there's nothing good about it. In other words, there's no neutral feeling towards it. It's not pariv. It's treif. You understand? It's not something that you can say, maybe it's not so bad. It's pure evil. And that's what was happening here. So this is what, it's a fascinating idea. This is a very important thing for us, that if we want to keep away from anything negative, we have to make sure that that thing which is negative actually gives us a feeling of, it's almost like we should be repulsed by it. You know, like certain things that repulse us physically. We have to be repulsed by the negativity. If we are not repulsed by the negativity, well, then it's not so difficult for us to start engaging in it. That's the next step. Once it becomes, you know, it's not so, this makes sure that we stay away from it. And that's why we have this mitzvah over here. And I want to show you just to, you go on the second column, go almost to the bottom of the second, on the same page, on the second column, I want to show you something. I just want to read you a little bit here. He says, maybe it's in the middle. Yeah, let's see this paragraph on the second column. That's why the command of Hashem comes. That you should actually, literally, be in, like, hate them, as we say, and then you will destroy them. Why? Because as the Ar HaChaim explains, he's basing it also, he says that you have a tziva lisnoi esara, to actually hate the bad. Those who caused you to do the bad. And that's why we say, halay misanecha Hashem esna, right? Those who hate you, Hashem, I hate. Those who cause us to hate bad. Because as long as we are not separated from the sin, in other words, as long as we are not separated from that desire, well then, we don't know what the next step can be. We can unfortunately start to engage. And that's what was told over here. So I just want to see how he says, we have the same thing with Kayin. It's interesting, the pasuk. It says, Ve'elecha chukasai va'ata timshalvai. That the hatred, in other words, not the hatred, but the sin is longing to entice you, but you can overcome it. How? As long as you identify it as something negative. And you feel that, not only in your mind, but you have to feel that it's negative. And if you do that, you will be able to overcome it. That's the only way. So that's what we have to develop. That's what he says. And that's what we're talking about here. But when we're talking about the actual war, that comes later on. We'll see that's in the next parasha. But first, you have to develop that feeling inside of yourself. And then you know that you won't be tempted to actually, unfortunately, engage with them. I want to just see, and that's why, remember we mentioned about the trees. Why do we have to destroy their trees? What does that represent? So he says something very interesting. What do trees represent? Trees are where fruits grow. Fruits are things of pleasure, things that you benefit from. You have to realize that you get zero benefit from them. There is nothing good about them. There is nothing that you want to engage with them at all. In other words, every part of them has to be eradicated, because that's what it represents. It represents all that negativity, which you have to make sure to really get rid of. And that's why even the trees, as we say, we get rid of, because there's absolutely nothing positive that we want to keep and not like be mixed inside of ourselves, like maybe there's something good there. There's nothing good there, and therefore we are aware and we maintain that guard. And then because of that, we maintain our connection to Hashem in a very deep way. And then we say that the emunah is very, very strong. And that's why what happens afterwards, and now go to the next page, and I want to show you on page number 3. It says something interesting, because this actually leads to the next topic that we're going to read now in the Pesukim, about them, before they enter Eretz Yisrael, they have to be counted again. And he says like this, this is all before the Jewish people enter Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because Hashem wanted that the Jewish people should enter the land nikiyim, clean, umetuharim, and pure, legamre, totally, mikol ra, from any negativity. Achrei kol masha, nichlash shilu, even after all that they stumbled. And that's why he says, vayhi achrei hamageifa, it was after the, that's the next pasuk that we will read soon, after the plague, vayayimer Hashem el Moshe, and Hashem says to Moshe, su'u esreish kol adas b'nei Yisrael, count the Jewish people. And then they are going to be entering. And the reason for this counting is in order to know how to divide Eretz Yisrael. So this is already really the preparation for them to be able to enter Eretz Yisrael. And we find, we'll see, we didn't read it inside, but there's actually a fascinating thing in the Chumash. If you look into a Sefer Torah, you'll see something which is very unusual, that there is actually a break in a pasuk itself. You know, sometimes there's spaces. Usually it's after a paragraph. Here, there is a space in the Chumash in the middle of a pasuk. Very interesting, which means that there's a part of the pasuk that is closer to the previous pasukim, and then there's a part that comes up with the rest. And it's funny because it's even a new chapter, it's even a new topic. So it's very unusual. And what are the words? If you look, it's interesting. The words, it says, let me just see, it says like this, Vayihi acharei hamageifa, and it was after the plague. And then the pasuk says, and then there's a big break. There's a big space, and it says, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe," and Hashem said to Moshe, "Su es roish kol adas b'nei Yisrael, count the Jewish people." So it's strange. It's not its own pasuk. It's not. It's part of the other pasuk, but there's a space there. So it's very strange. Why? Obviously, these three words, "Vayihi," he says, "Vayihi acharei hamageifa," that it happened after the plague, obviously are words that are connected to both the previous topic and to the later topic. And that's why they have this space, which is strange a little bit, because why do we have this space? So it's obviously that we don't want to disconnect it from what's coming after. That's why it's not its own pasuk. But we want to connect it to what comes previously. That's why we make a space. See, so it's a fascinating thing. So what does it mean? What's previously and what's after? So previously we had this whole story about what Midian did to the Jewish people and how they sinned. And that makes sense. And it says that after the plague, so now we know, this something has to happen after the plague. What happens after the plague? So what do we say? After the physical plague and after the people died and after Pinchas did what he did, we can't just leave it there. We have to always remember what Midian did. And we have to cultivate in ourself a feeling that this is something that we don't want to go near anymore. We will never do it again because we hate it so much. And only then can we move on to the next part, which is connected, and that is the fact that we will be counted. And we know, we've learned this before, because this is not the first time the Jewish people are counted. There's something very special about being counted. When we are counted, one of the main things we are told is that when we are counted as a nation, it is because Hashem loves us, right? That's one of the main things we are told. You only count something that's precious to you. You don't count something that you don't care about. So the idea of counting the Jewish people, Hashem wants to show that He loves us, that He still cherishes us, even after the plague. Why did the plague come? Because we did something that Hashem doesn't like, obviously. So even after that, Hashem still loves us. But how do we retain that love and that we should feel it? By retaining the connection. How do we retain the connection? So it's a very interesting thing. You have to separate from one thing to remain connected to another. Sometimes people think that they can be in many worlds at once. We would all love that, right? We can, you know, like this, that, and the other. It's like, I don't know, I'm not trying to think of an example, but sometimes we might think, well, we can be very, very healthy, but we don't have to do anything about it, right? So we can love sitting and I don't know what, and just indulging in all kinds of things that are not good for us, but we really want to be healthy. It doesn't work like that. You've got to separate from the unhealthy habits and do the healthy things, right? It won't work any other way. So in other words, you have to separate from what's negative, and then you can be connected to what is actually positive. So there's a separation and a connection that actually has to happen simultaneously, and one is dependent on the other. And that's what we say here. In order for us to be connected to Hashem, you actually have to have a feeling that the things that Hashem doesn't like, you don't like. Because otherwise you're not connected to Hashem. That's the way it works. So you have to have both. You have to have that feeling that the things Hashem doesn't like, mamish, are disgusting to you, you don't like them. And then, of course, you have to develop the love that you have for Hashem. But it only comes in that. A similar example would be that you cannot, as we say, you can't, like if you make you invite a very important person to your home and you want to make them a beautiful feast. This is an example that's given many times. I mean, a simple level would be for all of us. Friday, we have this sense of urgency that we clean our house. Why? Why not Monday? I mean, we do. We clean Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday also. Otherwise, we'd be in trouble. But especially Friday, I think most people have this sense that the house should be clean. Why? Because we're welcoming Shabbos. But why do we have to worry about the house being clean if you have the good food in the oven and the table set beautifully? Because we all know, a beautiful set table, it's all very nice and good food, but if the rest of everything around it is yuck, doesn't work that way. First you clean, and then you bring the nice things. That's how it works. So first you have to eradicate the negativity, and the way to eradicate it is, yes, by going to war with it, but before that, by realizing that it's really an enemy, so you eradicate it from inside of you, and then you bring in all the beautiful things, all the love that you have for Hashem. So that's the combination that has to happen. And that's why it's such it's a fascinating mitzvah. We're not going to go into it at length, but I just want to share, just because it is today's Rish Chodesh Av, so important to mention one thing, which we'll do more at length when we come to the actual war with Midian. But the word Midian, again, spiritually, what does it represent? Madain u'meriva. And Madain is not such a known word. Meriva, you know, we have May Meriva. Meriva means riv, not like riva, like that, but riv as in a negative sense, which is to fight, right? Riv is when we have division, right? So Madain is also division. Midian comes from the word of division, and it's explained that what is this terrible klipa of Midian? So on the one hand, as we said, this immorality and this idol worship, but on a simpler level for us people who, thank God, don't engage in these terrible things usually. I mean, that's not in our world. What is unfortunately, yes, in our world? In our world is that feeling that we are not connected to each other. Because as we said before, we want to retain our connection to Hashem. The only way for a Jew to retain their connection to Hashem is by being connected to another Jew. So Midian represents the klipa. And it's fascinating, it discusses in Chassidus, what does this mean, like this disconnection? It's not like a big fight, you know, sometimes somebody did something, they insulted you, they really deserve, you know. We're talking about small things here. We're talking about literally just not being able to tolerate somebody else for no reason, not even for any good reason, just because they annoy you. I don't know, the way they look, the way they talk, the voice, something silly. They annoy you. There's something about them that you cannot tolerate. This has to be eradicated, it says. And unfortunately, sometimes we don't even realize it. And we get, like, we have these mother, and we have this, like, you know, there's a cute example that says one person came, I think, I don't know, to some rebbe, and he said, you know, I don't know, this person in shul is annoying me. This person in shul is annoying me. So the rebbe says to him, just don't spread yourself out so much, and maybe nobody will be annoying you. So sometimes when we feel ourselves very, very strongly, well, then everything that everybody else is doing, it's just stepping on us. So you have to make sure that we are focused, as we always talk about, on the other and how we can do good to the other, and then not take ourselves so seriously. And this is Midian. Midian is this division. Division is the worst thing, as we know. That's what we talk about in the 9 days, that we have to cultivate more than anything else, as much as we can. The opposite is, this is a hatred for no reason, as much as we can, a love for no reason. Even though there's no reason to love them, or there's no, so to speak, there might even be reason not to, but nevertheless, we love them. We tolerate them, more than tolerate them. We actually love them, and we encourage ourselves and each other to be there for the other. So this is a very, very important part. That's what Midian represents. And again, over here, when we're talking about feeling that disgust, so to speak, so we have to cultivate in ourselves, that feeling that if there's any sense of division, it's not something we want to go near. So we have to have that unity. That's such a powerful thing. As we know, this really provides the most tremendous protection for us. Did I share, there was a, did I don't know which people, did I share a story, because I, that my brother told me from when he went to Israel? Did I share it with you? No. Such a, I'm sorry, just to connect, and it's such, I hope you don't mind, just very quickly, such a beautiful thing. He was just in Israel, actually, just a few weeks ago. He's a college campus shliach, and they took all the shluchim that are on college campuses as a group. It was like, I don't know, two or three, I don't know, quite a few to Israel. And it's interesting because he was a little bit hesitant. He thought, what's the point? And when he got there, he said, yeah, it was amazing. And the people actually felt quite uplifted. But he shared a story that he heard directly. They took them down south, as they, you know, unfortunately do. And it was in Sderot. And there was a rabbi there, not a Chabad rabbi, a Sfardi rabbi, who was speaking to them. And he shared what happened to him on Simchas Torah, October 7th. So he said it was in the morning, and you know, the sirens were going, but in Sderot, you know, they're so used to these sirens, and of course they weren't aware of what was going on, so he himself walked out of his house to go to shul. On his way, it seems that his shul, which is not so far from his house, but is the police station, that famous police station that they took over, well, I mean, there was a few, but that the terrorists took over, right? So he saw some unrest there, and then from a little bit of a distance, and he saw a person that looked like a policeman, and he thought he would he's like called out to this policeman to see if there's anything he can do to help, and then he realized the policeman was talking Arabic. You know, they put on the police uniforms, so he started to run away because he realized something is not good. But this terrorist threw a grenade at him, but it didn't explode, one miracle. But then they shot at him, and they did hit him. He was injured. He ran, but he was running, and he ran into his shul, but he was injured. He had his phone in his shul, and he's calling whatever, the ambulances. But as we all know, nobody came. So he's waiting, nobody's coming. It's half hour, 40 minutes, and now he thinks he's not going to live because he's losing a lot of blood. And he describes that he's saying, Yidoy and Tillim, and he goes up and he lays himself down on the floor, and he thinks that's it. There's nothing, you know, nothing good. It's over. All of a sudden, another member of his shul comes in, somehow manages to come in, because we know some people did get, you know, it depends on the second, it was by the second. So this man comes in, and he sees the rabbi lying on the floor, and he says, why are you lying on the floor? He didn't even know anything that's happening, right? So he says, well, I've been shot. And he thought the rabbi's joking. He says, what? And then he sees the blood. So he says, why don't you call the ambulance? He says, you try. There's no ambulance. But then the rabbi realized something. Because it was Simchas Torah, and you know, at Simchas Torah, you know, you get all the packages ready for the children. What he had done the day before, which is unusual, not he doesn't do it on a normal Shabbos, but Simchas Torah, he had driven his car to the shul because he had brought the packages before Yom Tov to have it all ready, so he shouldn't have to carry it on Yom Tov, it's too much. And therefore he said, oh, you know, my car is here. So now this man who had come in drove this rabbi to the hospital, and miraculously they were okay. And Mamish, by the second, he says, he would have come, whatever, a few minutes, he would be finished. So he was alive. But he told them, this is the most, I mean, the whole story is a miracle, but he said something that gives the chills up. He said like this, that this person that came in, this shul member that happened to come in, was the one guy that the whole shul actually couldn't stand. Mm-hmm. And they had been telling the rabbi for months, get rid of him. Tell him not to come because he annoys everybody. He just, whatever, you know, there's always such a person. And he says, I don't know why. I have no idea what it was that motivated me. First of all, that I didn't tell him not to come, but more than that, that I actually showed him love. He says, he doesn't even know why. I don't know what it was, but something compelled me. And I showed him love. And he's the one that saved his life. And had he not been asked to, yeah? So when you talk about Midyan, you see there are people that do annoy us. They could be. And there could even be reasons, you know, that we can be validly say. But as a Jew, we have to cultivate love. That's the most important thing. Look, Hashem should help. We should never be in any circumstances that we need this, but we should know that we could be there for each other. And that's a very, very big part, tremendous part of what we can do now here is feel, it sounds terrible and negative, but it's not negative. It's in the positive. We have to know what's right and what's wrong so we can identify what we stay away from. And then we have to cultivate and encourage and strengthen ourselves to be connected to what is truly right, what we really love, what is good. And what is good, as we know, is the Avos Yisrael that we have for each other, the love of Torah, the love of Hashem, the Emuna and the Bitachon, and to strengthen each other. And to remember also, and this is also a hard thing now, and these are not just 9 days, I don't know, it's like we're living the Churban again, you know, almost like it's crazy, that we have a responsibility to strengthen ourselves, because how we feel affects all those around us. So we have to be filled with bitachon, even though it's so hard, and try, and the only way to do it is by learning things, as we know, learning Torah and giving tzedakah. It helps us to lift ourselves, and thereby the people around us are also uplifted. Because when we indulge, and it is an indulgence, in feeling down, and in feeling like everything's over and it's no hope, well then it's not only us that we're affecting everybody around us. So we have a tremendous responsibility to try and feel as much as we can the strength, to go deep, to find strength, to do good things, and that does strengthen us, and to realize again that the small thing we do for another is not negligible. It's so important. Even if we look at it as nothing, it actually makes a massive, massive difference. So Hashem should help that we should, all the Midyanim and all the enemies should be finished already, as they had with this war, was a very successful war afterwards, and they got rid of them. But we should have that all our enemies should be gone, but we should have only, we should have peace, we should have love between each other, and we should all be strong, Emirtz Hashem. Everybody should be healthy, and everybody should be well, Emirtz Hashem, and only good things for everybody. Yes. Yes.